Know how this show works. I ask questions, and I've got questions, but he's got answers because he's in charge of the answer plot. And when I say answer plot, you know that means one company. That's Winfield, and Kyle Gustafson joining us now. So, hello, Kyle.
How you doing? Great to be here.
Great to be with. I have you here. So, you're in the Brookings area, right?
I am. I'm in the Brookings area, and I cover the northern half of South Dakota for Winfield.
And right now, the northern half, at least east of the Missouri River, is in pretty good shape, huh?
You know, it depends upon where you're at. It can vary based upon what county you're in. Mm-hmm. In areas where they caught rain at the right times before pollination, they've got great-looking crops. In areas where maybe it was really hot, really dry during pollination, it's a little bit more variable.
Now, was that before August 1st, though?
That was actually, we're probably looking at back about the 10th to the 20th of July is the time frame that we were looking at. There was one specific week in there when it got, I think if everyone remembers, there was a week where we had about 4 days of heat warnings.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we had a lot of crops that were pollinating during that time frame, and anything that was pollinating during that time frame, it can really get variable fast.
Yeah. Now, that's a little early, though, isn't it, for this part of the world?
You know, that's one thing that's been interesting about South Dakota this year is that, all things considered, we've been ahead of normal on heat units really across the state, which is really unusual. Normally, you might have an area here, an area there that's above normal, but this year our temperatures have been really above normal since about the last week of May, and everything's been pushing along sooner than normal.
So Brookings up to Watertown, corn grown degree days, where are you at? What's the number?
Yep, so right now we're sitting at, if you planted your corn, let's just say on May 1st for easy figuring, mm-hmm. you're probably looking at somewhere around 1,900 growing degree days is probably where your corn's at, so it should be somewhere in the dent stage. And if we keep everything plugging along like we have been right now, you're probably looking at black layer somewhere around the 10th to the 15th of September, if everything stays according to normal.
That's, I guess, then everything's right on time, huh?
It's kind of funny. As everything keeps going along here, that should be close to normal. That may actually be about a week ahead of normal, just depending upon where you're at and how many heat units you get normally. Because normally when you look at Brookings up to Watertown, that sits up on the Buffalo Ridge. So sometimes that might actually be a little bit behind for where it normally is.
Okay, yeah, because we've cracked 2,000 in parts of southeastern North Dakota already.
Absolutely, yep. Yeah. And that's what's interesting, too, is that as you get off the Buffalo Ridge, it's not uncommon for you to be at 2,000 right here at Mitchell right now. We might actually be at about 2,100.
I think we made it to 21 today.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the way people have been looking for water and milkshakes, I'd say we're definitely cracking them fast.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, what did you research? And I bet your research was very interesting this year with the widely varying climate and weather patterns around the state. So what did the plots tell you this year?
Absolutely. So couple of things that we're always looking at in the answer plots, we're always looking at management based upon fertility. So we're looking at different hybrids and how they respond to different fertilizers. We're looking at better herbicide management, and we're looking at how the entire system works together. And you know, one of the things that we always look at, and I always like to talk about fertility, is we talk about where you pick up responses from fertilizer to where maybe where you're not. And a lot of it really depends upon your area, how much moisture you received, what your growing conditions are like. One of the interesting things we noted was in some of our plots where it was really variable, in areas where we had enough fertilizer down, so let's take phosphorus, for example. If you had adequate phosphorus, you were putting a starter fertilizer down, that helped push that plant along faster, so it pollinated faster, so it pollinated sooner before we got some of those really hot temperatures. So mm-hmm. Just that was kind of an interesting insight that we found.
Did it matter how much N you had on or not? Or
so that's another interesting thing we looked at this year, is we were looking at different plots with different nitrogen rates on them. And, you know, we're still in the middle of the ball game right now, so we don't know how it's going to end up yet. But one of the things that we noticed is, and we've done this now the last few years, is that as you manage your nitrogen in the middle of the season, so that doesn't necessarily mean putting on N all the time, but taking samples, you know, taking soil samples, taking tissue samples, and then applying according to where you need it, it looks like that's going to be a winner again this year, is understanding where you need it and then putting it on subsequently. So that's another thing that we found. And then when we talk about the weed science piece to it, you know, getting those modes of action out early, putting your pre's on, making sure that you're scouting, you're spraying weeds when they're 4 inches tall. that really seems like, and that's been the common theme the last few years, is our research is just reiterating a lot of things that we already know. It's just, it's all about agronomic management.
Yeah, and precision ag, huh?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of tools that are coming out now that can help you with understanding, you know, do you need to put the nitrogen on? Do you not need to put the nitrogen on? How many heat units do you have? And really, actually, one of our demonstrations, we're tying some of this nitrogen management in with these different precision ag tools to see how can you integrate precision ag with, let's call it, the human experience of having your agronomist look at the field every week. Mm-hmm. Because each one has strengths and weaknesses, and by combining them together, you can get a stronger recommendation than by just utilizing one versus the other.
Now, with or without an app of some kind?
So what apps really give you is, you know, a lot of the information you and I have been talking about. How many heat units do you have? What's the temperature been like? Well, how much precipitation have you had? That's one of the great things that an app can give you, is they can give you some of that data that can help you understand, here's what's going on in my field from a weather standpoint. We're still utilizing that local agronomist at your co-op to say, here's what the information is telling us. Let's make sense out of this so that we can make a recommendation that's specific to your field.
Yeah. Randy Doughty of Georgia, the record corn grower, told me a couple years ago that the best thing a farmer can see in his field is his shadow. So maybe his and his crop consultant shadow are the best thing to see. Huh?
You know, going out, taking a look at your field, getting realistic expectations, it's all a process in helping you understand, here's what's going on in my field, so you can take the guesswork out of it. So, you know, it's one thing to say, well, I think my field has a nitrogen deficiency. It's right. Another thing to physically walk out there, look at the plants, look at the leaves, and say, yep, that field is yellow, needs some nitrogen. Nope, that field's green. We don't need it.
Yeah. Guys, started doing soil sampling once a year. Should we be doing it more than once a year now? And how about tissue sampling?
You know, a lot of times when it comes to soil sampling, the biggest question I always ask is, which nutrient are we looking at specifically? If we're just talking about managing for phosphorus and potassium, I always say once a year is probably enough. When we start talking about making nitrogen recommendations, nitrogen's a mobile nutrient in the soil, so you might be taking a soil sample in the fall that is specific to your phosphorus and potassium management. But from a standpoint of nitrogen, we'd be looking at something maybe more late May through June timeframe for when our corn crop really needs nitrogen. So we're looking at addressing that nutrient as close to when that plant needs it as possible. So to kind of a long answer to the question, but depends upon your nutrient. If you're talking about the immobile nutrients, once a year is probably fine. If you're looking at mobile nutrients like nitrogen, probably doing something in season is going to be beneficial.
Yeah, and how about the tissue sampling? Is that something more farmers should be doing?
Absolutely. So one thing that we really like about tissue sampling is we just talked about soil sampling. Soil sampling gives you an idea for how much nutrients you have in the soil. The great thing about a tissue sample is a tissue sample can help you determine how much nutrient am I actually getting physically into the plant. Because one of the things that we find that really can help people out is when you actually take them both together in the middle of the season. So you can look at it and say, well, gosh, I've got a lot of nitrogen in my soil, but I'm not finding it in my tissue. Yeah. What's going on here? And oftentimes you can answer that question by just looking at the weather. So we take nitrogen. Nitrogen moves through mass flow, so with water. And if you've got lots of nitrogen out but you haven't gotten a lot of rain, you probably haven't had the water to move it into the plant and get it up into the plant.
Sure.
So, and one of the things I always say too, I'm kind of a fertility nut. I like studying fertility, but a lot of times when we take samples, you almost end up with more questions than you do answers. But it's because of those questions that we can start identifying maybe where we can improve upon. And that's one of the great things with the tissue sample too, is you can now say, gosh, I'm seeing this discrepancy between my soil sample and my tissue sample. Is there a better way I can place this nutrient, or is there a better timing I can place this nutrient that's going to get more of it into the plant, that's going to contribute to my yield potential?
All right. Excellent place to finish here. We've got about a minute left. You're a Winfield agronomist. We had a great discussion on, the Winfield answer plots are, those two terms go hand in hand. And so if guys want to get a hold of you and maybe visit with Kyle Gustafson, Brookings and Winfield, but you're available all across northern, northeastern South Dakota.
Absolutely. If you want to go out and take a look at an answer plot, just go stop in at your local cooperative. talk to them. We've got quite a few answer plots across northern South Dakota, so we can go out, take a look at what's going on in your environment, and we can look at some of these management practices that we've been talking about here and how they might work for your farm.
All right. Kyle Gustafson, enjoyed the visit. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.